No, I am grateful for those of you who have been sharing. Thank you for your humility and your sacrifice. It's a lot. It takes a lot out of you for a week and a weekend to share and to give to one another. So thank you for blessing. Me and Jen have been really blessed these last few weeks and the different messages and the things that the Lord has laid on your heart. I hope this morning is a continuation of that, that it's a blessing. I was just thinking during worship how Paul said that I've not yet fully obtained all that I am in Christ. He said, I'm just in part, but I press on towards that goal. And the beauty of everyone in this room, though we are different stages in our walk with the Lord, we are all a work in progress and all striving towards Him. And so grateful to have you guys in my life to help me achieve that goal, to walk alongside. The message this morning actually, in many ways, reflects what Ray spoke in his prayer at the end. And one of the interesting things, I have a newer Bible, so if this flies shut while I'm going, then just bear with me. The message this morning has been going around in my heart in these last few weeks, but I didn't really know I'd be preaching on it this week. But the Lord really put in my heart and expressed the desire for me to go back through the names of who He has called. And honestly, I've done that a few times in my life, but I find that oftentimes I forget and I move forward and then I have to come back to it. And so this week I've been reading about, I've been praying about, and I do have one of the names I would like to provide for this morning's sermon, but really today is, it's not going to be a deep dive, it's really just an encouragement for you, hopefully, that if you feel led to also do a deep dive yourself. But he said, he began to share with me just that I have names that you have, either not that you don't believe them, but you are not acknowledging them nor resting in them. God is not just, one of the things me and Jenna talk back and forth is that despite the fact that God is vastless and He cannot fully be comprehended in the sense that He's God, He's outside of time, like, if anybody gets up here and tells you God is simple in the sense of it's easy to understand, I don't know where they're getting that, because when I think of God, I can't fully grasp the vastness of who He is. But one of the realities is that God has not made Himself complicated. His creation is complicated. And if you look around, we're just a very complicated people, full of diverse views, diverse things that we like to do and belief systems. And we really are the complicated ones that we're trying to work through and to figure out who God is. And I think in many ways, God really is kind of simple. And I will hopefully explain that later in the sense of what I'm talking about. I have quoted this many times in my messages, but Tozer had a quote that I always love. He said, "The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God." And I was telling Jenna last night that the last few weeks really is a... especially Nick, when you were doing your 2 weeks of messages about identity, and I know that's continued through Chris, I really think you could take that quote and say the most important thing about you is how you see yourself in God's eyes. And so this morning is not to be a contradiction but a compliment of that truth, is that the most important thing about you and me is what we think about when we think about God. Because that whole circle truth is that you begin to see yourself differently when you see God differently. And because the rest of your life, the way that you view God, the way that you see those names, is how you will spend your life responding to Him, the way you will spend your life living for Him. It's kind of like my dad said earlier in his opening, is that if you see God just as a tyrant king waiting to punish you for coming into His presence, you will spend your whole life approaching Him in that way. So this morning, my encouragement, and hopefully I will end with this, but in case I forget to mention it, is my prayer for you this week is something simple, is that you would begin to go back through the names. Maybe you don't do a deep dive the way I do, but maybe in your prayer time, ask the Lord, what of your names do I need to focus on this week? And the name that He put on my heart all week, and honestly, I look back, and it wasn't something in my heart or my mind in the last year, but me and Jen had walked through some financial stuff, and I've mentioned that many times. But last year, I can say that the name Jehovah Jireh was one that I wish that I had been praying, the one that I wish that I had been focused on, because I wasn't. And I went through a pretty hard season this last year, worked through it, and the Lord was merciful. My wife was merciful, and there were days that I just felt like the lowest believer, that I had no faith whatsoever, and it was a hard year for that. But in the last few weeks, it's like, now I've come to this place where there's certain peace in me, and that God has been dealing with me, and then now he's like, well, here's the name that you should have been following the whole time. And this idea of Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. And so even though I've been going through his other names, this is the one this week that every morning, whether it be praying on someone else's behalf, praying on my behalf, praying for my family, it's, Lord, you are provider. And that is much more than tangible things. It's much more than a physical. It can mean a lot of different things for all the many people that are in here. And though that is the title of my message, that Jehovah Jireh is my provider, you can expand that out to what is that name that you need this week? Because what God is trying to do, and going back to my point of that God's not complicated, is this truth, is that God truly spends all of Scripture, from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation, and I think you honestly could simplify it as this, is that God is doing his very best through our human weakness to convince us that he is God and Father. And that sounds simple and obvious, but really, if you summarize it, it is a people that are constantly rejecting, a people that constantly distrust, a people that are choosing lesser, and it is a Heavenly Father who is constantly coming back to the same truth, to the same people. When I preach messages like this, my heart says, God, I should know this. God, our church already knows this. Aren't we past this? You say, well, the Israelites, I thought, were past that many times, and they had to be brought back time, generation after generation. And that's what I said about the names, is that even though I grew up with them, there are seasons that I kind of don't focus on them, and then I kind of lose sight of. God is this infinite being, all-encompassing, but he does break himself down into these categories that says, this is who I am, this is who I am. I'm not just God who sees, I'm not just creator. I didn't just arrive in Genesis, make you, boom, and you're there, have fun, see you in the end. It's, I am these things, now that you are creation, I want to walk with you, and these are the names that I want you to know me by. There's only probably a handful in here, but it is the whole Narnia season of him constantly talking to the kids that go to Narnia, and it's Aslan telling them, this is the name you should know me by. All this time it was me walking here and doing this, and you should know me by this name. And as I was going through this, I looked up. I'm like, actually, where is Jehovah Jireh mentioned? And I wonder if anyone, does anybody know where it's mentioned right off bat? Anybody know that? I didn't. Sacrificing Isaac. And you know what? It's only mentioned once. To everything that I read and every commentary that I could find, if somebody else can find it, contradict me. But I only found that it is actually in Scripture once. That I am God provider is only mentioned one time. And yet, through the vastness of Scripture, through the thousands of years that existed, he is the provider all the time, and it's only acknowledged once. And in this moment, it is Abraham who has taken his son, and he has waited and waited, and he's done everything he can to make this happen, and really kind of contradicted God's promise. And finally, God fulfills his promise and gives him a son. He has his son, and he's like, now that you got your boy you've been waiting for all of your life that I promised you, I want you to go onto this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice your son. Again, I have preached on this message. Many of you have preached on this message, and I cannot get over it that every time I hear this message, now that I'm a father, I cannot comprehend this message. Because if in a moment that God spoke to me clearly and said, take Declan, and I want you to go to the town square in Auburn and sacrifice your son, first of all, my wife would be, maybe God needs to clarify a little clear, because I don't think I'm leaving the house with her boy. And if you think I'm going to drag Declan over to the town square and do just that, honestly, I don't know if I have it in me. And yet somehow Abraham told his son when he said, Dad, we're going to go sacrifice. You didn't bring an animal. I mean, that's kind of tradition. And he's like, don't worry, God's going to provide the sacrifice. Now, we do a lot of assumption about what Abraham thought or knew. I don't actually know if Abraham knew that God would provide a lamb or if he just thought, God's going to resurrect my son. He just knows that God said, through your son Isaac, there will be a generation. How that will come about, I don't know. All I know right now is that God is making me do this and I have to obey. But he said, God will provide. There have been many moments that Jenna had to tell me last year, God's going to provide, he's going to take care of it. And I said, in my heart, I don't see how. because I've done everything I can, humanly possible, to provide. And yet, all through last year, I found little ways it wasn't all at once, and it was a trickle effect of different people in my life and different circumstances that God provided exactly what me and Jenna needed in the moment that we needed it. And many times, it was enough just for that moment, and the next day I'd wake up and I'm back in my same place because it was only enough for that moment. Abraham said, God will provide, and I don't know how, and I don't know why, but he's going to. And in that moment, God said, you were going to obey me. Do not slay your son. I will provide a lamb. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider. And for this morning, that could mean a lot of different things for each one in this room. And maybe right now you're sitting at a very great place in life and you feel a lot of peace and you're like, you know what? God has provided for me. That's awesome. Enjoy it. Praise him for it. Live in it. Inspire others. But if you find yourself in a place that is true for you, I was there. I was there for a long time, quite a few months, that I was privately battling this area of my life. Psalm 8, I'm not going to read it, but this is the chapter, if you want to go through it, where David says something. He says, God, behold the stars in the sky. Behold all of creation. He said, ultimately, you are the God of creation. Then he goes back and he says, so who am I that you're mindful of me? That you even acknowledge my existence is really what David is. He's overwhelmed by the fact that I can't fully grasp why God would even notice me in the midst of all of his creation. Yet David also probably just forgot in that moment that he's part of that creation. A few thoughts this morning. I said generally I like to read through scripture, but just to kind of keep things simple, I have things written down here. The story of Abraham and Isaac, if you want to go to is Genesis 22, particularly verse 14. And then Psalm 8 is what I put there. A little bit about Moses this morning. We have probably beaten those stories so much in history, but I find myself drawn back to them because there's so much to draw from it. In Exodus 3 is this back and forth between God and Moses. Moses is in the desert. He's now approached this little bush that is on fire, and there's this conversation between him and God has said, I have seen the suffering, I have heard the cries of my people, and you, Moses, are not here by accident. You're here because I've called you to go and free my people. You will be my hands and feet. You will take the staff, and you will go. And then we course, read ahead when he gets involved and he says, well, I can't talk, I can't do this, I don't have the capacity. And God said, don't worry, I will fill your mouth. And he says, really, no, I'm not a good public speaker. And God says, okay, fine, if you're going to be that way, I'm the one who gave you your mouth in the first place. And I'm paraphrasing. But he then says, I'll give you Aaron. If you want someone who can publicly speak, you will go forth, take this staff, let me show you what the staff can do through my hands, and I'll even send you another public speaker so you can be silent, but you will be relaying the words that I give you. And ultimately, the point that I zeroed in this week was that God speaks to him and he says, there will be this moment that they will see when I am done with Egypt. He doesn't just say Israel. He said that Egypt, the Egyptians and Pharaoh will know what? That I am God. God is not only trying to teach and to raise and to pour into you and me that he is God. He is trying to show a lost and broken world that he is God. He's done it many times. You hear the stories. Even right now in the Middle East, there are things that God is revealing himself to terrorists himself, that he is God through dreams, through visions, in ways that none of us would ever expect, is that God is constantly trying to show creation, this is my heart, these are my names, this is who I am as God. When I am done with them, they will know that I'm God. Who are the three men that Israel, that the Jews elevated above all else? Throw out a name. Moses, Elijah, one more. David, that would be good. I'd say Abraham. And you could probably extend that. The three that hit me was Abraham, Moses, and Elijah were the three that you constantly refer to as these head fathers. They are the ones that had such an impact on Israel for long seasons, an impact that lasted generations. And this week, I spent some time reading about each of these, and I know a lot about them, but I read through it again. And one of the things that the Lord was showing me is when you go through these men, on the surface, what do you think? Do you think positively? I do. Moses, man that led the people out into the desert towards God's promised land. I think of Elijah, the man who went on Mount Carmel and did amazing things for the Lord. I think of Abraham, who left his home, all that he ever knew, and went to a place that was unknown. I think on the surface, I admire these men. When you dig a little deeper, you realize, what are they? They are human flesh who fail time and time again, and with some severe consequences. In every circumstance of every person we look to in Scripture, I want you to consider the fact that if God had not intervened, where would they be? And you can do this from Genesis to Revelation. And I like to run through that. I've done that many times for my sermons and in my own heart. And I think of these ones. Think of Abraham would have still just been in his country with his dad, in his dad's household with his dad's gods. He wouldn't have gone anywhere. You look at Elijah, would have still been hiding in the cave or maybe under the tree, kind of scared of the king Ahab. Moses would probably still be tending sheep and have not gone anywhere. And I was telling Jenna this week, I was like, you know, I actually think of Moses and him confronting Pharaoh and how humorous it would be for him in his own power to get up there with his staff and say, all right, frogs. And if God did not intervene, you know how foolish Moses would have looked? All right, fire. It's coming. Darkness. If you wait long enough, it'll come. You take Moses and you take God out of it, he's a fool. A man standing there with a stick, crazy in the wind, yelling at a kingdom. He would have been executed. He would have been a man that would have been mocked and laughed at, not only by Egypt, but his own people. And yet, because of God, he was a man that we will always remember because God's power, because God showed himself strong through Moses, that he is remembered for anything. Without God providing a means and a way, where would they be? It is the same message throughout all of life, is that I am God. So they will know that I am God. It is that message for you and me in our heart today as we wake up, as we go home today, as we go about our life. It is, I am God and you are not. And yet, even as though I've known him for most of my 32 years, I still wake up some days and think I'm in charge or think that I'm something or think that I've got the power. And it was funny because what I learned really in some areas this last year, I'm like, as much as I've done everything and I had to humble myself through Jenna and said, I have tried every means necessary to fix this, and I still can't get it right. And I came to that point in myself that I am out of options. I am out of ideas, and I've striven and strove, and yes, I've prayed, but really I've done everything in my own strength, and I had to get to a point truly of surrender and stop treating God like he was plan B for me and realize that up until this point, God has been the one that has given me all that I have. The names, I'm not going to go through them today, that's your homework to look through, but he talks about how he is the creator, he is the provider, he is the healer, I am the one who sees, I am your savior. All of the names that he is known by, I am your shelter, and most importantly, I am your father. All summarized in this truth, that I am your father, I am your creator. A run through history, the message was clear, and when we go through it like this way, it really just overwhelms me. He says, I sent Joseph to be a slave in Egypt. He was there as a slave in the household, and I raised him up to be like a Pharaoh. In almost every way, he really was like Pharaoh, second in command. I sent Moses and Aaron with a stick to save you. I sent and brought plagues to Egypt. I freed you and brought you out. I led you to the land of Canaan. And when you refused it, I fed you, I clothed you, and I watered you in the wilderness. On top of it, I sent you prophets, priests, judges, and kings. And ultimately, I sent you a savior. I. There is no Moses. There is no Elijah. There is no John the Baptist. All of these people, yes, they existed. Yes, they did the work of God. But the truth is this. I did these things for you. You could just stick yourself right in there and go through your life right now. And if you took 10 seconds to just do a quick rerun of your life, you would see all that God has done through you. And truly, it's overwhelming. It is overwhelming when I think of how I've gotten from birth to here. and that God has provided for me in ways I never thought possible, and the means in which he did it, and the people that he used, many in this room, for different seasons of my life, that God used you to pour into me and to make me who I am today. It was him. You and I get to be a part of it, but it's always been about him. And yet somehow, for Adam and Eve, the apple was more appealing than all of the garden. You can have everything in the garden, just don't eat this one tree. Well, I want that one tree. Said, you could have me as your God, as your king. I would like the stone image. It's more appealing than you. I've given you Canaan. Well, I prefer to go back to Egypt. Slavery was better than freedom in the desert. I give you manna, you want quail. I find myself this so often. It's how much has he given me, and yet I want something else. It's not enough to me that he has always provided. It's, I've given you a savior, what do you want? I want a sacrifice. I want to keep killing cows. He has provided all the means necessary to make you a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, and, well, I'd like to go back to circumcision. That sounds good. I just want to go back to that. Why? Why do we want the things? Our flesh, and that is the battle that I wake up every day realizing I'm a work in progress, because the flesh of my body wants the things that are lesser. It wants to see God in a secluded, you're off doing this for my life, and yet I want this for my life. I want it to look this way. And yet, if I'm honest, everything that God has ever provided has been far above anything I've wanted for myself. It's always been superior. Daniel would have been still with the lions. He just would have been bones. David would have been crushed pretty quickly from Goliath. Paul and Silas would have still been in prison singing their hearts out. Adam would still be without a wife. She wouldn't have been made. Gideon and his puny army would have been crushed. You could keep going. You literally could keep going and write these out. And it just amazes me. All of the stories that I've always loved growing up without God. My grandpa, I think I mentioned before, wrote a book for our family about his life, and he named it But God, and the whole point was all these choices I made, all these things that God did in my life, or all these things I chose for myself, but God had plans, but God had other ideas, but God's investment in my life brought about where I am now. I actually have a lot more on here, but I'm going to close right here. I was thinking of Declan this week, and which I do often. And I thought of the way he views me. Jenna often tells me when I get home from work, she says, he just can't wait to see you every day. She's like, he does. He runs to the window, and his little head peeks up because he can pull himself up into the window sill, and he'll look out the window. And every time I get home, if he's still awake, I'll see this little face looking for me in the car and coming up, and I see him, and then he gets down and waits for me and then starts shrieking when I come in excitement. And it's the best part of my day. I get off work and I get to see that little face every morning, and his excitement, I was like, this has nothing to do with me. It's that boy worships the ground that I walk on. And for him at this season in his life, sees nothing but perfection. He doesn't see what Jenna sees often in me. He's over there and he's like, that is my provider. He gives me sweets. He gives me treats. He spins me around. He hugs me. He wrestles me. He plays with me. He puts me down at night and gives me my spoon and my blanket and my little stuffed cow. I love Daddy. And I love that about him. And what grieves me is there will come a point when he realizes I'm not perfect. He will see my humanity. And for a short time, I get to be perfect in his eyes because he trusts me fully. And I was like, the only times that he's disappointed in me is when I tell him no. When I say, you can't take the plug out of the wall. No, you can't go outside without shoes. It's cold. No, you cannot have another cookie. Buddy, it's time to go to sleep because you will be a mess if you don't sleep. He doesn't like those things, and it makes him angry. But I'll tell you what, within seconds after he doesn't get his way, I'll find another way to distract him, and boy, he loves me again. And I think God has to see me in those lights of, I just want you to know that you're loved. I just want Declan to know that every decision that I make, when it's done in the right heart, that it's done because I love him. And everything I want for him is the best. I'm even now just, I want the best for his future. What can I do to help him in his future? What can I do to invest in him now? Why do I not want you to hurt you? Because I love you. And when I look at that and look at God, the way God must view me, and how often I'm just like, no, I want my way. I want to do it this way. I want my cookie. I want that toy. I want more money. I want a bigger house, more land. I want this. I want that. And it's like God knows what I want, but God also knows what I need. God being provider does not mean that he wants to give you all that you want, because he also knows that you getting all that you want is very damaging. Being provider means he gives us what we need in the moment that we need it, because he loves us. And that overwhelms me, because until I became a dad, I didn't understand that. I couldn't have the heart of a father till I was a father. And every day I wake up and realize how much I am loved, because how much I love him. In what area this morning do we need to be focused on? In what area of his names do we need? You need healing. And not just physical healing. Do you need a healing in your heart? A resentment? A burden? Thoughts? Things that weigh you down, that make you struggle, that focus you to focus on the things that you don't want to be? Do you have a physical ailment that has just dogged your every step? He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the healer. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. And we have scripture to point to the fact that he has always backed this up. And he's backed it up in our lives. Where would we be without him? Again, this is a simple message. It's one we've heard time and time again. But I wake up finding myself needing to remind myself that he is all these things for me. He is the God who sees. I can guarantee you right now, there's those of you in here that generally you don't find yourself here or up there or in the front of anyone, and you don't feel seen most of the time. He is the God who sees, even when no one else does. I want to close with this passage of scripture. I want you to go to Acts 17. I'm sorry that today is not scripture heavy. A lot of it seems like it's my words, but I hope it really was the Lord's words. Acts 17. Let's start verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands and as if he is in need of anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Colossians echoes this when it says that he was before all things, he is in all things, and by him all things are held together. There is nothing that you and I can do today, no place that we can go, not move that we can make, the very breath that you're giving right now, none of it is done outside of God. As if he needed anything. This sounds harsh, but he doesn't need you guys. And he doesn't need me. He was never in need of anything. He was perfect. And yet for some reason, he made you and I because he found pleasure in us. And then he turned around and said, even though I am perfect, I'm going to make you part of my family so that you can also be used by me to spread my goodness. What is the Great Commission? What is discipleship? All of it points to one thing. I want the world to know who I am so they can know me and have a heart for me and that they will receive my love and receive all of the beauty and benefits that I offer. All of the names that I am known by, I want to offer to the world. That's as simple as it gets. If you think it's more complicated than that, then you've dug too deeply into history and theology. It is summarized with this: I want the world to know that I love them. And that's a pretty simple message in what he offers. Jenna said something last night, and if correct me if I wrote it down wrong, but she said that the older that your kids get, the smaller that your parents are in their eyes. And what I think this means is not so much that you think less of them, it's that you just realize how human they are. My dad has had a few health calls, and Jenna's dad has had a few health issues this last year, some pretty severe, that put both of them in the hospital. When I saw the frailty of my dad's, I realized they're not forever, that their bodies are not perfect. And I realized that just like Declan sees me now, I saw them, particularly my dad when I was a kid, as being infallible, indestructible. And yet the older I got, the more I realized how small he is and how frail he is and how human he is. And she said, but the older that we get and the closer that we get to God, the bigger he is. And that's always been the point, is that we are frail, we are weak. And I hope that in the end, for every parent in this room particularly, or those of you that are potential parents, that as you get older, that your kids see you in that light, that they see you as smaller and weaker, but they see God as greater and bigger. Because ultimately, that's our job as a parent, to say, I can only do so much, and I will only be here for so long, but he is the provider. I'm right now privileged with the joy of getting to provide for my wife and son, but ultimately, without God, I can't even do that. And I want my son one day to look at me and say, I'm grateful for all you did, but really, God is my provider. That's my job. So I don't know where this touches you. Maybe it's far south from where you are today. But I hope this week the simple truth is that we recognize and remember that God is not just this spaceless God outside of time and outside of your situation. He said, no, I've given you my names, and I am these things for you, and they're yours to hold and to live in. So let's pray and go about that. Lord, I thank you for bringing me back to your truth daily. I thank you that I so often see my imperfections, but then I see your perfection through it, that I'm in constant need of reminding myself who I am in you and what I have access to, that you're not only creator, but you're my father. You're not only my father, but you're my God, and you're my healer. You are the one that sees. You are the one that's present. We love you, Lord, and we want to be a church, Father, that lives that out, that extends our hands to the world and says, here's what I've gotten, here's what I've received, and it's there for you. I pray for those in this family, Lord, that maybe is struggling in an area that they need to be reminded. I pray that you would show yourself strong and they would begin to pray that name. Lord, the name that you gave me this week, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider in this, in that, in all circumstances. I thank you that even the strongest in this room, Father, has absolute need of you. We cannot do it alone. And we go forth, Father, in that peace and in that hope and in that joy that I am human, I am not God, and that you are, and that you have chosen me, that I have not chosen you, but you chose me first. I love you, Lord, and I love this family, and my heart is for them, and I know your heart's for them. So we go in your presence and in your peace and in that knowledge that you love us. It is that simple. And we give you our day and our lives and our families. In your name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.